Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program. We hope you'll become a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given the times of our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we cordially invite you to any or all of these services, and you will always be warmly received. We have been discussing the subject of the Kingdom of God. We are now discussing the context and teaching of Matthew chapter 24. Last week, we looked at the first three verses and the questions that Jesus' disciples asked him when he foretold them that the temple and the city were going to be destroyed, and that their city would be left to them desolate. And of course, this provokes questions as to when will these things be, and as we looked at the other accounts in Luke and in Mark, that they ask, what will be the signs that these things will be accomplished? Well, we're going to begin to examine that beginning in chapter 24 of Matthew and verse number 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You know, as the Jews were expecting the Messiah to set up a political kingdom, and in that they were wrong. That's why he came into his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 1 and verse 11 is because Jesus did not offer them what they desired. They were under Roman oppression. They wanted to release from Roman oppression, and they wanted to return to former glory. They wanted a king, and they wanted a physical kingdom, and a king that would lead them and fight for them and one that they could look to. And Jesus never offered that. Jesus was a king of a spiritual kingdom. And that kingdom was prophesied back in the days of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 36 through 43. We also saw part of that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2, and verse 2 through 4. But Jesus warns that the days will come that people will try to deceive them. They will try to deceive them by claiming that they're the Christ. And they will deceive many. Ladies and gentlemen, this even goes on in our day. There have been people in our time. David Koresh, a number of years ago, in Waco, Texas, claimed to be the Messiah. There are many people who have claimed to be the Messiah in order that they might give credibility to their personal teaching or viewpoint of trying to tell that they have a divine message from God. Such have always been proven to be false because Jesus Christ has not come yet. And so he warns them that there will be others that will come and claim to be the Messiah and will claim that they have the message from God. And unfortunately, Jesus says they will deceive many. But he warns them not to be deceived. Then in verse number 6 through 8, he talks about another sign. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now notice in these verses, in verse 6 through 8, there will be wars, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Within Rome, four emperors came to violent death in a short period of 18 months. In Seleucia, 50,000 Jews were slain at one time. In Caesarea, a battle between the Syrians and the Jews resulted in the death of 20,000 Jews. Acts 11, verse 28 mentions a famine which would occur in the days of Claudius Caesar. And there were many earthquakes recorded in this area before AD 70. These events and these things that would happen would be signs. Jesus told the disciples not to be troubled by them. The end is not yet. And he's not talking about the end of time. He's talking about the end of Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, never forget what the disciples ask a question concerning. Jesus has told them prophetically that the temple and the city of Jerusalem are going to be destroyed. Mark's account, Luke's account, and Matthew's account centers upon the questions, when will these things be accomplished? What will be the signs of these things coming about? And so Jesus is dealing with that question, the question of the signs, not the coming of the end of time, as many claim from this chapter, but the time of the destruction and the desolation of the temple and of Jerusalem. Keep in context. Keep focused. Never lose sight. That's what we are discussing. It is human theology. It is misrepresentation. And it is an abuse of the text to take these signs as signs that will happen at the second coming and the so-called setting up of the kingdom on earth. That is not under discussion. That is not even in the mind of Christ. He is telling them signs of when the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem will take place. And so there will be many outward manifestations in wars, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. These things happen even today. There are wars, there are famines, there are pestilence, and there are earthquakes. These things are also true today. And it is true, all these things are not signs that the time is near to the coming of Christ. These are just events that happen in the world. But these are not talking about events that will happen as signs prior to the coming of Christ. For if they did, we would be very confused because these signs continue to be repeated over and over again. But in this case, these signs would not be the sign, the telltale sign of the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem. Let us continue in verses 9 through 12. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now notice, he's talking in these verses about the persecution that is going to come upon the first century church. Now at the time of this prophecy, the church is not yet in existence. It will not come into existence until the following of Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension back to heaven, and the promise of the Holy Spirit being fulfilled by being poured out on the disciples in Acts chapter 2. But in these verses, Jesus tells them that they are going to be delivered up to tribulation. Some are going to be afflicted, and yet some are even going to be killed. We know this to be true from the, we can read in Acts chapter 8 and also chapter 7, where Stephen the martyr was killed, and we can read where James was beheaded in Acts chapter 12. Some will be offended. Some would betray and hate them. We know this from passages like 2 Timothy 1, verse 15, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Paul said Demas forsook him because he loved the present world. And so some are going to betray. Some are going to hate. Some are going to turn away because of the persecution. Well, this will also open the door of the consequence of false teachers. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, talking to the elders of Ephesus and Miletus, Paul even warned them of the false teachers that would arise among them. In verse 29 of Acts chapter 20, it says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also among yourselves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." And then in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17, Paul again warns of the danger of false teachers. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 17, it says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, they will deceive the hearts of the simple." And then in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, The Apostle Peter warned of the danger of false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because whom the way of truth is blasphemed. And so, in the first century, the false teachers would deceive many, and would cause the name of Christ to be blasphemed. And last, in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, the Apostle John, warned of the same thing. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so, Jesus says one of the signs of the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem will be that they will be delivered up, they will be afflicted, and then the false teachers will come, and they will deceive, and they will lead many to blaspheme the name of Christ. And they will be offended, and they will betray one another. The influence of wickedness would dampen the Christian zeal and his love. And we can read that in passages like Hebrews 10:25 and 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. And so, I want you to notice, there will be many who will come and say that they are Christ in order to give validity to their false human theology. Then, there will be natural disasters. There will be rumors of war. Nation will rise up against nation. There will be famine. There will be pestilence. There will be earthquakes in various places. All these things will happen prior to the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. And then in verse 9 through 12, they will be delivered up. Some of them will be afflicted. Some of them will even be killed. They will be hated by other nations, and we know that indeed happened. And many will be offended. And because of their lack of faith and their trust in God, they will betray one another. And then the false prophets will come upon the scene, and they will rise, and they will deceive many in the passages that we just read. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And what that means is they will lose their faith. They will lose their fervency. They will lose their zeal, and they will leave Christ. They will desert him. That's going to happen prior to the events of the taking down of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. But then in verse 13, note, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. The ones who endure the false rumors, the wars, the natural disasters, the affliction, the tribulation, the offending of other brethren, and the false teachers, those who keep their eye on the goal, those who believe and trust in the promises and the love and the power of God, that will endure, that will not compromise, that will not blaspheme his name, that will not turn their back, will not let their love grow cold, those people who endure to the end, they will be saved. That is a divine promise from God. These afflictions and tribulations will not destroy the faith and the hope and the promise of those who remain faithful to God. It would be true in that day. It is true in our day. Please tune in again next week when we will continue looking at the signs of the destruction.